Good morning and Lord's blessings to you all. Our text for consideration is the third chapter of the Revelation. We hear the first three verses. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent." We pray. O Lord, sanctify us now by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The congregation at Sardis were still around today. I'd argue that we could label it a social media type church. Now, please let me explain what I mean by giving it that label. When you take the time to look at somebody's Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever accounts, what do you see most often? You usually see all the happiness, the most exciting, the most beautiful moments of that person's life. Studies have been done to show that when it comes to social media, we usually only post the highlights of our life. We don't typically post the lowlights. And so when you see those posts, you see the picture-perfect wedding. You see the dream vacation or whatever it may be. Again, you only see the highlights. We would never even dare to begin to think that we should post some of the lowlights or the sins that often accompany those kind of events in our life. We don't see the pictures of the yelling and the fighting, or those cruel words that bring somebody to tears, or the self-induced stress because of poor stewardship, or just trying to keep up with the Joneses. No, often social media is used these days to give the impression that everything is roses and lollipops and rainbows, when we know that reality actually says it's something else. And so, see, can you understand why, if that's the definition we're going to go with here, that if Sardis and his congregation were still here today, we would call it a social media type church. Unfortunately, though, this congregation's issues were much, much bigger than trying to give the impression that things were better than what they were. Again, in verse 1, we hear, "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Their problems were a lot bigger than posting partial realities and truth to a social media account. Their issues were spiritual in nature, and each one of them had spiritual consequences. On the outside, this congregation looked good to everybody that saw it, but on the inside, it was dead and almost totally dead. No longer were the teachings and the truths of the Bible important to them. All they really focused on and cared about was, what did people think of them? How did they appear to the outside world? What were people saying about them? I don't know if you're someone who's guilty of only posting partial truths on your social media accounts. What I do know is that every single person in this room, every single person right now watching online, is definitely guilty of at times trying to appear more alive spiritually on the outside than you and I actually are oftentimes on the inside. Every single day, you and I have times when we are guilty at trying to look better than what we are to the people around us so that we can receive praise, so we can get the old pat on the back. But then when people aren't looking, then that other side of us comes out, that side that is there that only Jesus sees behind closed doors. That perfect student turns into that thief, cheater, and plagiarizer. The squeaky clean individual can turn into the beer-chugging, shot-slamming, and pot-puffing wild child. That perfect couple, that pious person closes the door and becomes sexual deviants through premarital sex and pornography. The favorite professor, the stand-up staffer, becomes that person who drinks to excess at the bar, or turns into that nightmarish spouse, parent, or friend. Anything just mentioned sound different from the rebuke Jesus gave to the congregation here in the text? Absolutely not. Folks, we're just as guilty of trying to appear on the outside much better than the reality that's going on at the inside at times. Thankfully, though, thankfully and only by the grace of God, like the Christians at Sardis, we have help for the same situation that this congregation did. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. We're told to repent here. We're told to, literally what the Greek says here, keep on remembering what we've received and heard. And what you and I have received and heard is that the speaker of this text is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same Lord and Savior who took on our skin and bones in his incarnation so that he could live a life where all his words and deeds matched up perfectly. Unlike us sinners, Jesus didn't just talk a good talk. He also walked a walk every single day so that his perfect and holy life would happen even behind closed doors, even when other people weren't looking at him. Our Lord and Savior died. He died on that cross because you and I, we are born spiritually dead when we come into this world. And he died for you and me for all those times that we even tend to try to go back into the direction of spiritual death. He died so that you and I could be made alive through water and through the Word, so that we could be alive not just in the here and now, but also in the world to come, because now we have forgiveness, we have life, and we have salvation in him. And so that's why you and I, we need to follow the words of the text here, as it says in verse 2, and we need to be watchful. Every day we need to strengthen our faith, no matter if your faith is weak or if it is strong. We need to do this on a regular basis. We don't want to find ourselves in Sardis's position. We don't want to go down a path that could lead us back to a place that Sardis was at the time of the writing of this text. And so, my friends, we need to make confessing our sins. We need to make receiving Christ's forgiveness a habit. A habit that we regularly do by going to worship, and not just in this beautiful chapel we have on campus, but also at the churches we attend on the weekend. Living in faith, we want to keep on remembering everything that Jesus has done for you and for me in his life and in his death, which we do every time we read, study, or hear his word, so that our faith may be strong or may become strong and founded and rooted in him. But also there's that reminder of that comfort that you and I have, that added blessing that God gives to every one of his children as we keep on remembering what we've received in his means of grace. And it is that sweet and precious forgiveness for any and all of our sins, for all those times that we have acted alive but have been dead on the inside. No, your works have not been found perfect before God, nor have mine. But in faith, you possess Christ's perfect works and his death, so that when you and I stand before our God in heaven, he sees us as spotless and holy and alive. No matter your sin, through faith, he has removed that guilt and that sin forever. You don't need to walk around with it anymore after you leave this building today. You don't let it need to keep pounding you down day in and day out. He has removed that guilt forever. You are his own dear child, a child by faith. And now by his power, in the means of grace, my friends, the Lord can and he will help you be alive according to his will. To the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all power, praise, and glory now and forever. Amen.